Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Takiyo Spikes was a great player for a decade and a half in the National Football League. And Bengals, 49ers, multiple-time Pro Bowler, played for the Bills. He almost got three teams in this weekend. He got the Niners and the Bengals in. He came a play away from getting the Bills in. And he played 219 NFL games and remarkably did not make the playoffs. So he is part of the Niners broadcast team, NBC Sports in the Bay Area. And Takiyo Spikes is now joining us live. I want to talk about San Francisco's defense because their defensive front about 2 years ago took over the league. And then they had a bunch of injuries, and now Bosa's healthy and DJ Johnston. And I watched them this weekend. And I watched them against the Rams this year. And I got to tell you, Takiyo, they look like that defensive line 2 years ago. Armstead is playing well. I don't love their corners, but they gave Aaron Rodgers, you could tell, he wanted to get rid of that ball fast. You could see that, right?
Yeah, and you talked about it. When you look at the defensive front, Nick Bosa coming off of an ACL tear from last year, but he has been exceptional. You look at Samson Ekubon. He's been playing very well. Jordan Willis. You look at collectively across the board, in particular, Eric Armstead. Since they move him to that three technique, now he's rushing consistently over guards. It's been a matchup. And this dude has been dominant over the last 6 weeks of the NFL season. You can't block him one-on-one. And they do a great job. And it's not just one or two guys. They do a great job collectively by rotating guys in and out. And guys raise their level of play when they get the one-on-one blocks.
You know, Takiyo, it's interesting. There's a different culture with Kyle Shanahan. It's a physical. Practices are more physical. He wants to get and play it in the phone booth. He wants physical football. The Rams like to spread you out. They got Cooper Kupp out here. They sometimes go no back sets. So it's an interesting matchup between the Rams and the Niners. It is two kind of different football cultures, some similarities. But why do you think the Niners have had so much success against Sean McVay?
Well, I said it all the time, and I say it on my BTM podcast, is, listen, Kyle Shanahan, he taught all of his assistant coaches everything that they knew, but he did not teach them everything that he knew. And with that, the schematics, the game planning, understanding that, look, let's go back to the game when they played the Rams during the regular season. When they played that football game, he did such a great job of understanding and knowing, we got to run the football, and if it takes 40 times for us to run the football, that's exactly what we're going to do. They did not get discouraged. He talks about all the time, we may not only get 2 or 3 yards here. We may lose a yard or two here. But we know eventually if we keep pounding, they will continue to crease the teams and be able to get those big yards runs.
Yeah. D'Amico Ryan's defense as well. Good for him. Takes over for Robert Saleh, and they have played absolutely great football, more impressively down the stretch post-Thanksgiving, which tells you he's a good teacher, so he's going to get some opportunities. So Cincinnati has not been a winning culture for a long time. And sometimes you just need a guy to walk in a building and change a culture. And Burrow is confident and a little cocky, but I find it very likable. I never think he's unlikable. There's a swagger about him, but it's a fun swagger. It's, hey, everybody, jump on board. Are you even surprised they went to Tennessee and won?
I picked him. I picked him before this week's game. And the reason why, I remember the 49ers playing the Tennessee Titans, and I truly had an opportunity to look at 4 games of the Tennessee Titans. And the things that I saw, they didn't have an explosive offense. The thing that they did well was they were not going to beat themselves. They were going to rush the football effectively, and they were going to play a brand of football that was going to be very efficient. And so when I looked at it and I saw the Bengals going in, the Tennessee Titans defensive backs, they gave up the number one receiving yards, the number one touchdowns given up by wide receivers. So I knew that matchup right there alone was going to be very favorable for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm going to tell you the reason why they were able to win that game defensively. You got to give a big shout out to that defensive unit of the Bengals. They held the Tennessee Titans 1-for-8 on third down.
Yeah.
Walked out of there with 3 interceptions. And now you have Ja'Marr Chase. He's continuing to fill up the stat sheet. Another 100-yard performance. These guys are going to give problems for a long time. But the next week, when we look at the next matchup going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, I got to do my homework. I can't go ahead and throw everything in yet. But I like this matchup. And I do not anticipate or expect for the Bengals to go in there and get blown out. They're going to come in there with Joe Burrow, with that confidence that he has. As long as you have him, he's going to make a difference and spread the ball around and score points.
Yeah, if any team could have caved this weekend, it was the Bengals. They got sacked. They were a little overwhelmed up front offensive line. And Green Bay played fearful in the second half. Cincinnati could have and didn't. And I think that's just it speaks to the personality and kind of the confidence of Joe Burrow. Now, I do want to talk about this. As I watched Mahomes and Josh Allen carve up the defense, I thought losing Honey Badger really hurt Kansas City in the middle. I think he's the most instinctive player, arguably, in the league. The guy is just a magnet for the ball, and without him, it's not the same defense. But I look at the game now in the middle of the field. When these quarterbacks can run around and you can't hit them, I mean, you retired at the right time. Because when you watch this game now, Josh Allen is 6'6". He can run, slide right in front of you, Taquio, and you can't touch him. I feel like the game is almost unstoppable if you get the right quarterback. What do you see?
I mean, it's a prime example of what you're seeing in the National Football League. Teams are not going out getting quarterbacks who can stand in the pocket and look like the Statue of Liberty while trying to deliver the ball. They got to go out and get quarterbacks that are mobile. We saw that with Josh Allen. We saw that with Patrick Mahomes. And the thing about it, when you talk about how the league has changed, and in particular Josh Allen, it's disappointing to see he really didn't get an opportunity. But if you look at his last 2 playoff games, the Buffalo Bills, they were committed to running the football better. And more I looked at them, how did they do that? By having Josh Allen to be able to run the football, having pre-call runs, not scrambles. And he was averaging over the last 2 wins that they had, 8 yards a carry. And that's very hard for a defensive unit, especially when you're not counting on him to run the football in certain inopportune times.
Yeah. Taquio Spikes, by the way, he has a podcast that's out right now. Taquio Spikes Presents Behind the Mask. You know, I think it's interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo's not the most artistic. You know, he doesn't have the big arm. He doesn't run around like Mahomes. But I will say this about Jimmy Garoppolo. The players love him. I watch those guys around him, Taquio, and he's one of the guys. Whatever that is, it is. That's what I see it. You don't always get the greatest quarterback, but there is something about Garoppolo that is infectious around his teammates. Do you see it?
Yeah, I see the same thing. At the end of the day, look where they are. This is the second time this team has been in the NFC Championship game in a 3-year time period. And that ain't by accident. These guys play for Jimmy G. Now, would we all like to see Jimmy G be the type of quarterback that we just raved about,
yeah,
talking about Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? It would be unfair. You wouldn't even have to play the Super Bowl if the 49ers had a quarterback like that. But the reality of it is, these guys play for him. Deebo Samuel. You look at Elijah Mitchell. You look at George Kittle. These guys believe in him, and that's what makes this guy make not only this team so good, but it makes the key players step up in big opportune times. And the thing that Jimmy G brings to the table is this. You know, we joke about it, you know, in our own circles, like, okay, he's going to give you what he needs to give you within the first 3 quarters. But when you need Jimmy G to step up late in the 4th quarter and take his team down, whether or not to score a touchdown or whether or not to kick a field goal, he does that. You think about the teams who are still in the playoffs right now, the Cincinnati Bengals. They won against the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati in overtime due to the fact that Jimmy G took his team down to score.
Yep.
Like, that was huge. And he's done that several times. I think about him playing against the Kansas, the Los Angeles Rams. What did he do? They were down 17 to nothing. He brought the team back. So he is exactly what they need. They have bought into Jimmy G. Jimmy G has bought into all of the exotic toys, really talking about Kittle and Deebo Samuel. And these guys are making plays week in and week out. And it's going to be exciting to see what they do against the Rams. They're going for 7. And I like this matchup. I really like the 49ers going into this matchup.
Taquio Spikes presents Behind the Mask. As always, great seeing you. Continued success. Also works for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. Our friends up there. Thanks, Taquio. Appreciate it.
Right on.
Good stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The whole weekend is just nuts. The thing about Garoppolo that kind of cracks me up is that, you know, we said, what do you do if Jimmy Garoppolo wins 2 road playoff games? And you're like, well, it's Trey Lance's team. Let me ask you now. What do you do if he beats the Rams again and gets you to the Super Bowl again? In the 2 years that he was healthy, he got to the Super Bowl both times. It's the only thing. I mean, at this point, I don't care who wins the games. These are all great stories. They're all great kids. But just for the story, Garoppolo in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years, and for the record, outplayed Mahomes for 3 quarters. We all remember the throw he missed. Patrick struggled for 3 quarters, and then Patrick did what Patrick does. But it is fascinating.
I love it because I love talking to Niners fans about it because they don't know what to do.
You know,
they love him. They hate him. They want Trey Lance. Well, it has to be Trey Lance's team. Because he always has that moment where you're like,
oh, no. I'm a nervous wreck watching him. Because once Green Bay went safe, and I'll be the first to admit, I always try to be an unemotional judge. I don't find Aaron Rodgers particularly embraceable. I find him to be difficult and prickly. And he's just too cool for the room for my taste. So once he started going safe in the second half, then I'm like, okay, I like this Niner team. I hate safe football. And then I'm like, you know, I like this Niner team, and I want Jimmy G to win this thing because it's better. It's a great story. It's a fascinating story for football. In the offseason, we need stories in March. What do you do if Garoppolo makes a Super Bowl? What do you do?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I love it, though.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herd Line News.
Honestly,
the Rams have lost 6 straight to the Niners.
And when a great coach keeps losing, I think a lot of it comes down to this. The Niners defensive front is a very tough matchup for the Rams. Offensive front, it blows up a lot of stuff. And I think you also, when you start dominating somebody, you get into McVay's head a little bit.
That's what I said before the Packers game. Like, we might look at the Packers as this, you know, great team, which they have been throughout the season. But the Niners know they can beat them. Like, there is some psychology to this. Like, you're like, oh, every professional team knows that. There's some games you go into like, okay, we can beat these guys. This is going to be a tough day. The Niners don't feel that way.
Listen,
they certainly don't feel that way about the Rams this weekend.
McVay's lost 1 game in his career leading at half. Niners. And they led 17-0. And they got tight. And it was like, that's not who the Rams
are. Yeah,
there's
never going to be a feeling in this game, and it's kind of weird to make this comparison because obviously it's Tom Brady, but there's never going to be a feeling in this game like it's out of reach.
It's just going to be so good.
So the Saints may be looking for a new head coach. Sean Payton has reportedly not committed to return to New Orleans.
I wouldn't, and I got nothing against New Orleans. Sean has got 8 great years of coaching. He has earned the right to go land with a great quarterback.
Well, he's under contract the 2024 season, so that's $45 million that we're talking about here. So it's 3 years remaining on his contract. So however it goes, if he does go coach somewhere else, there's going to have to be a deal made.
Yeah.
But he hasn't informed the Saints that he'll definitely be coming back. Apparently this season was a really rough year for him.
Yeah.
And very stressful. So he may just be taking some time away to decompress, which he's certainly entitled to do. We all have kind of this, you know, very American mentality that you have to work 24/7, 365. But maybe he's just taking some time off to just, you know, go away for a little while.
They've also had a great organization. Breeze left last year. Jeff Ireland, maybe the personnel guy, may leave, and Peyton. So it's like they've been great for a decade now.
Yeah.
And now Maybe it's kind of start over time for Gail Benson, the ownership, Mickey Loomis. Maybe it's time to start over.
Well, I wouldn't want to move on without Sean Payton, but if he wants to go somewhere, he might also want to go into television. There's reportedly some offers there.
Oh, he'd be great at that.
And he'd be great at that. And that's a much less stressful job, as we can tell you. Not quite the pressure of coaching an NFL team. So maybe he's just, look, different people have different motivations at different points in their lives. There comes a point where you've reached a certain level of success in one part of the business, and you may just want to transition to something that's not that stressful. Once you've made a certain amount of money, that no longer becomes an issue for you, and you're going to continue to be able to make money, but in an environment that's not as stressful.
He's newly married. Maybe he wants to spend time.
Yeah, maybe he's coming back and he's just taking a week off, but there's no commitment at this point, so that's going to be an ongoing story, especially as these coaching vacancies start to get filled. So Tom Brady did everything he could to try and spark a comeback win over the Rams, but the Bucs season ended on a game-winning field goal by LA, and earlier on Sunday, reports surfaced that Brady was uncertain about playing next season, and after the loss, he said it was too soon to think about his future.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so we'll just take it day by day and see where we're at. I was thinking about winning. That's kind of my mentality always, to go out there and try to win, give my team the best chance to win.
Levante David said after the game that it was a tough season for the Bucs. He said things happen. People get hurt. We had some mishaps here and there. Guys bump heads. We had a lot of turmoil going on in our organization. I saw that quote and I kind of thought about, the Antonio Brown situation. And then you just had Bruce Arians get fines for like his outburst and hitting the guy in the helmet. And it's very hard to repeat, obviously. We know that. It's almost impossible.
Sustaining success is generally harder than being successful.
Yes, we've seen lots of teams win a championship or get to a championship.
Netflix is finding that out. People start nibbling at your edges. Amazon and Paramount and Hulu. Creating a successful model, you can do that. But what's
amazing, it is very difficult. And once you get to the top, then you get everybody's best shot.
And people start stealing your coordinators and your players. It is, you become the target of the league.
Right. And that's why what happened in New England was so impressive, because every year they maintained the same level of standard, but that takes a lot of buy-in. It takes your leadership to be on the same page with your head coach and your owner, and everyone has to be bought into that in order to sustain it. And they still have ups and downs. So it's not that simple as you just plug and play. They had an incredible season last year, and there was obviously some things going on behind the scenes, maybe even beyond Antonio Brown, that we didn't necessarily know about. He's entering the final year of a contract extension he agreed to before the 2021 season. It was a 4-year contract that voids to a 1-year extension. So he has a $20.3 million cap hit next season, which will be the 14th highest in the NFL. It's totally reasonable. But it's just a matter of, when is he going to hang it up? I'm not in the hunting down when Tom Brady's going to retire thing. Like, that's not... He'll let us know when he's done. If he comes back next year, I would not be surprised at all. He had an MVP level season. It's not like they had a disaster of a season. Like, that's a good Rams team. They played a terrible first half. The Rams deserved to win that game.
Yeah.
Like that, the Rams played a more consistent game despite their turnovers.
Well, once again, the Niners, they're getting healthy. Kittle and Bosa are healthy.
And health is going to be a big part of it.
Rams are healthy. Whitworth probably comes back.
And personalities. Like, it's hard to keep people bought in when you don't have a sustained level of culture built. Like, Brady did bring the winning culture and standards and the structure and all that. But to get players to buy in initially might be easy. But to keep them bought in, especially after you win, is difficult.
And they all got paid.
Right.
And they all got commercials. And they all got trophies. It's hard.
And everybody is not motivated by the same thing.
That's right.
That's why it's so hard to maintain dynasties.
You and I are motivated by journalism.
Correct.
A lot of people are motivated by ratings.
You and I are motivated by anarchy.
Chaos.
Yes. So the Bengals are headed to the AFC Championship for the first
time
in 33
years. Let's hear it for the Bengals.
Years.
Come on. Cincinnati Bengals. Upsets, we don't give them much love.
The top-seeded Titans.
There we go.
I absolutely love it. As the original Joe Burrow fan on this show.
You were a big fan.
They're underdogs against Kansas City, but Joe Burrow says his team is prepared to keep shocking the league.
I'm tired of the underdog narrative. And we're a really, really good team. We're here to make noise. And teams are going to have to pay attention to us. We're, like I said, a really good team with really good players and coaches, and we're coming for it all.
He has something very unique about him in that he's very confident, borderline cocky, but it's very relatable.
Yeah.
And it's not obnoxious.
Nope.
And
it's not I'm above you or I have all the
right,
answers.
It's not condescending. It's just very relatable. And he's so, so likable. I mean, he doesn't spark, like, I never see anyone say anything bad about Joe Burrow. Everyone loves him. Like, they've loved him since LSU. He's just fun to watch. He's aggressive. He got sacked 9 times.
You cannot joy fool players. A lot of guys put on this Captain America shield,
yeah,
and players can see through it.
But fans, too, though. Like, fans really embrace him.
This was a huge play, by the way. That was a huge play in the moment. And look at, you know, he's such an, he doesn't have a huge arm, but he is just, his feet, look at this, just his feet, he reminds me a little bit of Herbert that way. His mechanics are good, his feet are good, he throws with confidence, and he's just mobile enough to be a big pain in the butt because he can always get those ad-libbed yards.
I know he's frustrated with being the underdogs, but they are the underdog. They are the underdog, and the Niners as well, but obviously the Niners have been there before. It's been 33 years since the Bengals have been in this spot,
so
but
good.
They're really fun to watch. As amazing as this weekend was, I can't wait for next weekend. The Rams can't figure out a way to beat the Niners, and now they're playing them again, and the Chiefs are favored by 7 against the Bengals, these scrappy Bengals, and what a fun story in Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's going to make a lot of things very uncomfortable for a lot of people around the league. Because he's so good, so fast, and he's the guy. Like,
well,
they have a lot of pieces. He's right. Ja'Marr Chase is unbelievable, and he's been able to elevate everybody. But the Bengals have been a losing organization, an extremely frustrating organization for a long time, and he came in and changed everything.
You know, he's got Burrow's very much. Andrew Luck, I was thinking about it this weekend, is the only quarterback I've seen in 20 years that got to a conference championship with a poor offensive line. This is one of my mantras. Can't win a World Series with a bad bullpen. You can't win big with a bad O-line. Burrow and Andrew Luck now have both done it. Where it is absolutely, if you look at PFF rankings, it's the worst offensive line in the sport this past weekend. And they're in the conference championship. Andrew Luck did it. Now he got blitzed eventually by New England. And Burrow's done it. That speed, you're talking about Joe Burrow is in a rare class. It doesn't happen, folks. You do not get to conference championships if your quarterback gets sacked 9 times. It doesn't happen, ever. That's just not the way the league works.
Yep.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not running your business on NetSuite's trying to sink a putt with a cap over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle. Go to netsuite.com/herd. Have visibility over your financials, HR, and more. All right, NFL divisional round, 3-word game. I'm going to break down every team in just 3 words, and oh, what a weekend it was. Bengals, 3-word game, Cincinnati earned their stripes. 52-yarder as time expired. They had the worst record in the NFL their first 2 years under Zach Taylor, 6-25-1. We didn't know if he was a good coach, but Burrow is the first quarterback taken, number one overall, to win a divisional game within his first 2 seasons. Tennessee, Tanna killed their chances. Ryan Tannehill, 4 red zone picks this year, most in the NFL, including the playoffs. Now, A.J. Brown, they have found a remarkable talent. But Tannehill, red zone, big moments, completely, utterly outplayed, letting down a defensive front which harassed Burrow for 3.5 hours. San Francisco, Jimmy OG's lowest passer rating, 57 by any Niner quarterback in a playoff win ever. And they are the first team in NFL history to win a game in which their only touchdown came on special teams. And he didn't have a very good completion percentage through the playoffs. But I will say this. He was more daring than Aaron Rodgers. He threw the ball down the middle of the field and led them to that game-winning field goal. Green Bay, Rodgers' rate reduced. It's his second career playoff game without a touchdown pass. He got safe. He's now 0-4 against the Niners. His career playoff record, folks, it's 11-10. Overwhelmingly a favorite in those games. And Packer wide receivers not named Devontae Adams combined for 6 receiving yards. Aaron, build relationships. Stop being above others. Connect with people. Be a good teammate. You can throw it to more than one receiver. LA Rams, oh, hi, SoFi. They go back home and could play their last 2 games of the year at SoFi Stadium. Rams and Stafford, Matt was good. 28-38 against that defensive front. And Cooper Kupp, his 12th game with over 100 yards receiving. By the way, if you're ever in L.A. on a weekend, go to a game at SoFi. It is spectacular. Tampa Bay, bye-bye Brady. He's 0-3 against the Rams since he joined Tampa. And here's an interesting note. The regular season passing yards leader has never won a Super Bowl. That was Tom. 0-56. Isn't that fascinating? Buffalo, all in on Allen, Josh Allen, 27-37. The Bills did develop a little bit of a running game later in the year. Gabriel Davis, good for you, 4 touchdowns. Somebody had to lose, and the better quarterback, slightly, with fewer rough, jagged edges, Patrick Mahomes, won at home. Kansas City, 13-second miracle. 4 straight scoring drives in 4th or overtime to end the game. This is what they do. Tyreek Hill has next-level speed. And what's happening to Kansas City now is not only do they have a taste for it, they're really good in these spots. They're very confident. Reed knows Mahomes. Mahomes knows his targets. You know, it's kind of scary that Kansas City played their best game of the year here. That's got a Durant, Steph, Clay, Warrior feel to it. Like, we can flip a switch. Even great teams can struggle with that. Brady yesterday struggled with that. Pretty scary.
I also noticed with only 13 seconds left, they also had timeouts. So they could go across the middle of the field with multiple plays.
They weren't out of timeouts.
And stop the clock.
Like that team on Dallas with a star.
I just find it interesting that that's...
That well-coached teams.
That's what happened.
How many games did you see, honestly, this weekend? It was a lot of them because you had great coaches. Shanahan, McVay, McDermott. How often did you notice late in games teams had all 3 of their timeouts left? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Tampa Bay's like, we got all of them. So they could use them to stop the clock against the Rams and get another shot.
Yes.
Dallas were out of them. We don't know what happened to them. We drove to around town, and the timeouts just flew out of the truck. We're looking around for the timeouts, and we don't have any
but
left.
Also, despite the fact that we know we don't have any timeouts, we're still going to call plays that you need timeouts for.
Kansas City moved 44 yards in about the time Dallas had one play.
Less time.
I mean, come on.
I just noticed that they had the timeouts and that they were able to use them.
If your team is constantly a timeout short, you're probably a coach short. I mean, I'm sorry, but all these teams this weekend, all their timeouts left late in the game. All right, I'm done. You know, optimistic Colin returns tomorrow. Was not in the mood for some of Aaron's nonsense today. Speak for yourselves around the corner. It's the Herd.